Exodus chapter 16. We'll be looking there for a little bit. Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 21. All right, everybody about there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. All right, in chapter 16 of Exodus, this is what it says. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God, who had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even Then shall ye know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, and he that hear your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with the bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened unto Moses, but some of them left it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. All right, we'll stop right there. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us. Father God, we thank you today, Lord, for your blessings, and thank you for the privilege we have to open up your word and understand it better today. Lord, we ask that would occur right now, that you would cause the things that do not matter right now to just fade away, Lord, and that we would focus on you. Lord, would you speak to our hearts, to our minds, that we would see something maybe we haven't seen before, that we could be drawn closer to you and be a better vessel to be used by you in the world around us. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So again, it's a lot of reading, but I like reading, and I like a lot of scripture. So I hope you do too. So we'll all learn it together. So in chapter 16 of Exodus, and I like to follow Moses, and I don't know really why, but for the last few times that I've preached out of different things in Exodus. I actually preached about Moses and how Moses was called, but you know, Moses had to get himself right before God would use him. Moses had a lot of things going on and gave a lot of excuses as to why it wasn't me that you were calling, it was someone else. He said he wasn't a very good public speaker, neither am I. So Moses got a helper. They gave him Aaron, didn't they? So everything that Moses gave as an excuse, God showed him why that wasn't a valid excuse. But so now we are talking about Moses and Aaron, those two men that helped lead God's people. And so what we're going to do is kind of parallel what was happening with the followers, the Israelites, and their relationship to Moses and Aaron, and also to God. And hopefully it will all come together. And I believe it will. So here we go. All right. So they are coming out of, they're on a journey into Elam, and they are in the wilderness of Sin. Now, it's not really ironic that that's what it's called, but it is a place where it is desolate. You know what the word desolate means? There's nothing there. So it's all desert land. So why in the world would God, who is God and who knows all things, and a God who wanted his people to prosper, and a God who said that he would lead them out, he would prepare a way, and he would take them into a land that he had prepared for them, why would that God put them in a place that looked like this? Why? There was nothing there. There was absolutely nothing. Have you ever been to the desert? I have never been to the desert. You might have, but from what I understand, there's nothing there. Not a whole lot going on there. So why in the world would God send his people into the desert? You might not understand, and I might not understand it, because I live in South Alabama. I don't know a whole lot about a desert. I don't understand it because I say, what in the world could they possibly get into? And that is exactly the reason. There was nothing that they could get into if there was nothing to get into. So if God sent them into a wilderness where there was absolutely nothing but desert, there's nothing that they could get themselves into. So wasn't it an added protection? Yeah, it was. They, however, didn't see it that way. That's like us. Sometimes God puts us in a place where he wants us, but we don't understand why we're there, and certainly this cannot be where God wants me to be. Certainly this cannot be what God has called me out of to put me into. And that is basically what they're grumbling about. God has sent us out of here, and he's put us in this place where there is nothing. What did they do? Well, in verse 2, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they went up against Moses and Aaron, and they were griping and complaining about why in the world would God bring us out of where we were and put us here. Well, what were they in? Slavery. They were enslaved. So I hope we understand that that's not jail. You understand what jail is? Jail is incarceration. Okay, they're not there in jail. They are there as slaves. There's a difference between slavery and being in jail. They were working, okay? They weren't just sitting in there on a cot in jail. They were working. Okay, they were enslaved. They had to work for someone, okay? They were enslaved. That's a whole lot different than being in jail. They were not in jail. All right? They were not there. So they thought that they would rather go back to being a slave than to stay where God had placed them. They would rather go back there. Why? Because they had nothing. Because in their mind, they had left everything that was good, everything that was normal, and they were out here in a desolate land where there is nothing. Look at what they said. Would to God, verse 3, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We would rather have died with all the things that we had in Egypt than to be right here right now. And that's what they were saying. We would rather have died in Egypt. Look at what they had. Because they're focusing on the fact that they're weak and they're hungry. There's no food out here. There's nothing out here. Nothing. How are we going to eat? They said, we wish we had been back there, because back there, in verse 3, if you carry on, when we sat by the flesh pots, they had plenty to eat. Plenty to eat. More than they could have fathomed. It says, when we did even what? Eat bread to the full. So they ate meat and they swole up with that bread, didn't they? And you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You mean to tell me that you brought us from the place of plenty to desolation when there is nothing? Yes. He did. He did. The Israelites were complaining because they encountered danger, they encountered shortage, and they encountered inconvenience. And that is just like us. When we encounter those things, we do the same thing. We complain and we long to be back in something else rather than be where God has us. We would rather be back there than to be moving forward. Difficulty doesn't mean it's not God's path. Difficulty didn't mean it wasn't where God wanted these people to be. Oftentimes, it is exactly where He wants us to be. We don't grow if we're not tested. We don't move forward if we never take a step. We only stand still to hear the voice of God. But when He says move, we got to move. Yes, every new field that we go into looks desolate to us, because we've never been there before. He didn't ask us to surrender because we knew everything. He didn't ask us to go into a land that He had prepared because we know everything about it. They knew nothing about where they were headed. Nothing. Until they stepped out and looked and said, well, there's nothing here. This can't be for us. This can't be where God wants us to be. But it was. They just wanted life to be a little easier. They just did not want to face the things that God set out for them to face. What they were focused on is their current situation, what they could see. And that is why he often tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what we see, not even by what we feel, because our feelings change, don't they? Our feelings change. And that is one of the things that the enemy uses against us is our feelings. He'll get all up in our feelings and we'll get our feelings hurt. And next thing you know, we're not listening anymore. They could not focus on where they should have been because of the stress that was in their life right now, because of the right now. They didn't want to focus on that. All they could see is all of the things that they did not have. When God equipped them with everything that they would need, they just didn't know it yet. They just hadn't got to the place where God could send it yet. It wasn't that he didn't have a plan, and it wasn't that he did not want to send it. It's just that they were not ready to receive it. Does that make sense? So sometimes it's not that God isn't listening. It's not that God doesn't want you to have it. It's just that you're not there yet to get it. And that is a hard place to be in. That is like being in a desert because we don't understand. We don't understand. When God opens the door and swings wide the door and all you see is nothing, what are you supposed to do? Because that's what he had done. He had swung open a door and he had told them to go. And they looked out and they saw nothing. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go back in the door? No. No. You're supposed to go. Go. When the pressure comes, what are we supposed to do? The only thing that they could do was what they had always done, and that was run away. That's what we can do. We can run away. We can try to escape. Why? Why did they want to go back there? Because that was familiar and because that was easy. That's where they could go back to because that's what they knew. This is a new territory. This is a new world to them. And that is exactly what happens when we have a door open for us. It is a new world. It is a new focus. It is something that we have not seen before. But that does not mean that it is not the door that we need to go through. Wisdom helps us deal with those things. He talks about all the things. And here Moses does. All of the reasons, all of the excuses, their murmurings, their grumblings, all the things that they were doing. And he says, why? Why was God doing this? Read on down a little bit further. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove to them, I may prove them, whether they walk in my law or no. Verse 5, it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Verse 6, and Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even they, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. How would they know unless they are shown? Well, they wouldn't. How would they know? What was God doing? Are you going to trust me? or not? Are you going to trust me or not? Do you really believe in me? Do you really believe I brought you this far to let you starve to death in the desert? Again, they hadn't gotten to the place where they should have been. They hadn't gotten to the place where God could reveal that to them. So what was God going to do? He was going to test their faith, and He was going to test their ability to follow the rules. And oh boy, there it is. He was going to test them. He was going to try to see if they could walk the way He'd asked them to walk. He gave them specific instructions as to how much they could gather. God would send dew in the mornings and flesh meat in the evenings. They continued to complain, because they did not understand. God promised to meet their need in the wilderness, but He decided that He'd test their obedience first. God wanted to see if they could follow simple instructions. We sometimes are in the place that we are in as a test to see if we can follow simple instruction. It isn't that we have to know every step of the plan, because that's not entitled to us. And I know we're in the age of entitlement, and even in our Christian walk, we think we're entitled to know things, but we're not. We're not entitled to know things. What God asks of us isn't that we have all the details laid out before us. I like plans. I like knowing A to Z when things are going to occur. I like knowing 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm sure I know I have a routine every morning when I get up. I'm sure most of you do as well. And usually when those things don't go that way, things happen, don't they? When we get all mixed up. But we have a routine and we like things laid out. But that's not always the way we get it. Oftentimes what we get is a door flung open and nothing else. We get a door flung open because what we're supposed to do is go through the door. What we're supposed to do is wait for the instruction, and we're supposed to walk step by step and do the right thing. Do the right thing always, and we'll have no regret, right? Right. Do the right thing always, you'll have no regret. They went into the wilderness, and God took care of everything. He said, I heard, verse 12, I heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh. In the morning you shall be filled with bread. You shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass, verse 13, that even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay around above the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round things, a small hoar of frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to the other, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. All right. So, They had complained. They had murmured. They had griped. And God heard them. God gave them more than they had expected. God gave them plenty to meet their need. Plenty to meet their need, that all would be filled that wanted to be filled. There would be none left. There would be none short. But it would be exactly what they needed. That is exactly what God can do for us. When we go through the door, when we're walking hand in hand, step by step, He will take care of the things that we least likely expected. My children, do not worry about very many things, because you know why? They have a mom and daddy. They take care of things for them. We take care of things for them. You take care of things for your children, things that they don't worry about, things that they don't even think about. Why? Because it's not their job to do. They're to be children. That is the same way with us. It isn't that we are supposed to be worried about those things, because we're not. But we like to be in control, don't we? We like to put things into perspective, and we like to have all the plans laid out. But we have to be like children in that sense, that we take what God has given us, knowing that He knows what He's doing. He knows full well what He's doing. When the children of Israel saw it, they did not know what God had given them. He goes on, because again, this is a test to what are you going to do with what I've given you. Verse 16, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons, that ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children, 17, of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. Verse 18, "And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had no thing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating." So they knew, God knew exactly, and each person got exactly what they needed. So, had they not gone through the door, had they not gone into the wilderness, they would not have understood. They would not have understood that God was truly in control. That is hard for us. That is hard for us to understand. That's hard for us to believe that God truly is in control. That is hard for us to believe. And let me tell you why that's hard for us to believe. Because we want to be in control. And everything really is out of our control. Because there is nothing that we really control except how we're going to react to whatever it is. That we can control. But everything else, we don't control that. God is in control. We are not. God was in control of His Israelite people. Even when they thought they had nothing, God was going to be there, and God was going to take care of it. 19. "And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed up, it melted." So God would test them. He says, you'll go out and you'll collect. You'll collect your day's worth, and that's what you'll get. You can't save it till tomorrow. All you get is for today. So some of them gathered to save, and it ruined. Why did it ruin? Because they didn't follow the directions. Why do we get into ruin? Because we do not follow direction. Even when we have just seen God work big, oftentimes as soon as God does something big, turn about 180, we forget that He's in control. We know He's in control when He does something big, but we don't think He's in control because He's not doing anything. He's always in control, and He's always doing something. He's always doing something. Again, sometimes it's because we're in ruin. What are you laying up for yourself? What are you laying up for yourself? Has God opened a door that you're afraid to go through? That's between you and Him. Not me shaming you, but that's between you and Him. When God flings open the door and there is a desert land, what does He want us to do? Walk by faith. Not by sight. Not by our feelings. Like we talked about in Sunday school. Not because someone hasn't walked this path before. Not because this path doesn't look like somebody else's path. Because my path is not going to look like yours. It's not. It's not your path to walk. It's mine. Sorry. My bad. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And yours is yours. Surrender and walk. Hand in hand. One step at a time. One step at a time. Let us pray. Father God,